Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. His ways are higher than ours. And it reminds me of that Sunday school series we just finished a couple months ago. God's way of thinking is different than our way of thinking. And I'm just thankful for that reminder tonight and that song. We just need to trust Him even when things don't look like we think they should. Trust His will, His way. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 24 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Excited about the opportunity to preach to y'all for the next month and a half, several times during that, and looking forward to tonight's message. I really tried the last couple days to preach a couple different things. Even this morning was in here asking the Lord if I could preach something different, because this one I didn't really want to preach. But we're here in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Hopefully, Lord, let me preach the other ones I want to preach here soon. But responding properly to your enemies is the thought for tonight. We're reading here 1 Samuel chapter 24 and begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into my hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the privilege, God, that it is to be here tonight on Wednesday night, or the middle of the week, God, to, Lord, praise you together, fellowship one another, God, and be in your word together. And I pray, Lord, as we're studying this passage here in 1 Samuel 24, that you'd open our hearts and minds to, God, whatever you have for us through it. God, I pray that you just use it in, Lord, the hearts in this room as you have in mine. Be with me as I preach tonight, Lord. I need you. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit and use me. Got to get your message across and that alone. We ask this in your name. Amen. Saw an article this last week of this man who turned 100, and it's a milestone birthday, and the news came to interview him and ask him what it was like to be triple digits, something many people never reach. And they said, "What are you most proud of in your 100th year?" And he looked at the reporter and said, "Well, I don't have an enemy in the world." And the reporter was thinking, "Well, that's a wonderful thought. What an inspiration that is. I wish my life was that way." And he said, "Yep, I've outlived every last one of them." You know, if you live at all in this world, you will run into a few enemies in your lifetime. We find David here in 1 Samuel chapter 24 with an enemy. One that really had no right to be an enemy, but one that did want to see David dead, one that did hate David. And we find him here in 1 Samuel chapter 24 living in a cave. And while he was in this cave, he was presented with a great opportunity by the Lord that many men would do many things for that opportunity. And he has a chance to get revenge on his greatest enemy in his life. God in his providence brought King Saul into the same cave at the same time that David and his men were in there resting. Perfect opportunity to kill Saul, to elevate himself and to take his place as king, to put himself on top. But David doesn't do what most people would have done in that same situation that he was put in. David, instead of reacting with hatred and with anger, with revenge, and performing murder, he displays love and grace, compassion and forgiveness. As we look in this passage, we really do see the heart of David, one that God himself said, a man after mine own heart. And we often will find ourselves in the same place, a similar place, that David found himself in here in this cave. Hopefully none of us with an opportunity to kill, but we see David with an enemy that wished wrong on him, one that offended him, one that hurt him. He had an opportunity to get even. There'll be many times in your life where there's someone that has hurt you, someone that has done you wrong, someone that has offended you, and you may be presented the same opportunity where you can get even or where you can get ahead or where you can settle the score. And what we do in that moment many times will define the life of that Christian. What will you do when an opportunity presents itself of that manner? What you do reveals the nature of your heart. You know, like it or not, we have encounters with people that won't go well. There will be enemies that come in your life, people that wish you harm, and you may find yourself hurt. And when you hurt, your flesh hurts. When you hurt, your flesh wants the person that caused pain to feel the same kind of pain you're feeling. But as Christians, we should care about what pleases God in those situations above anything else. And as we look here tonight, I believe there's some things in David's life that can offer us some insight into what we can do during times where our lives have been hurt by others. And the first thing we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, we see the offense that was here. David was hated by Saul. Turn back just a few chapters quickly, chapter 18, verse 9 here, 1 Samuel. We see the people were singing about David, and Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s, and Saul had jealousy in his heart. In verse 9 of chapter 18, it says, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Verse 15 says, "Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." Turn to chapter 23, verse 14. It says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day." Saul didn't just have a problem with David. He wasn't just jealous of David. He was obsessed with just taking his life. He was obsessed with ruining his life. It was very clear that he hated David. And we see him here in verse 1 and 2. Saul took 3,000 men to seek him more. David was everything that Saul was not. He hated David because he walked with the Lord. He hated David because God's blessings were on him. He hated David because God specifically had chosen him and Saul's time was soon to be over. He was consumed with jealousy. It was literally eating him alive. And David was hated not for evil in his life, not for any wrongdoing he'd done to Saul. He was hated simply because he was living for the Lord. His life was pleasing to God. He'd never wronged Saul. In fact, he encouraged Saul. He was there to support Saul. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know, it's inevitable that some people will be against you as you go through life. It's going to happen. But knowing that's going to happen, we need to make sure that they are against us, not for doing wrong, but for doing right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." If you are hated for doing right, Jesus himself said you are still blessed. It was about 12 years ago here, in just about a month, we moved from Oklahoma to Indiana as a newly married couple, no kids. I came here with a desire to give my life back to the Lord. I'd been backslidden for just a small amount of time. I wanted to be the Christian man that God would have me to be. I knew that God eventually wanted me in ministry one day, so we moved here, became members of the church, and got involved in ministries, just came to services, tried to do everything we could and just to plug in. And I was working at the mission downtown, and there was a men's retreat in the month of August here, as we always have in our church. And I, after work on Friday night, I jumped in the car, drove to southern Indiana to be part of the men's retreat. And I remember distinctly, still to this day, we got to the camp there, and I got out of the car and start saying hi to a few guys, and I hear, "Buddy Himes, that's poison to me." And I kind of laughed, and I didn't know what was going on, and I hear it again, "That name's poison." And this particular fellow was talking bad about me. I had never had any negative interaction with him before. It caught me by surprise, and I keep hearing this. And so I go, and I get settled, and we're walking around doing some other things, and I hear this guy blasting my name to this guy and hear him saying something else to this guy. And finally, around midnight that night, I went to him and approached him, asked him what was going on, and we got things settled. But it come to find out, he hated my guts because of things we were participating here at church and felt like I had opportunities to serve that he should have had opportunities to serve with. I'd made enemies before in my life, and they were my fault. But this one, I'd never had an enemy for just doing right and doing what God wanted me to do. You know, sometimes people are against us for no good reason. There's other times where people have very good reason to be against us. Sometimes they are right and we are wrong. But if people are to find fault with us, we need to make sure it's not because we're stubborn, it's not because we're hateful, not because we're mean, but it's because we are doing what God wants us to do. David was hated for doing what God wanted him to do. He was not only hated, he was attacked. You know, when Saul heard David, where David was hiding, he used every resource necessary to find him and to kill him. 3,000 men he brought to get one man. It meant that much to him. You know, in the previous chapter here, Saul almost had David trapped. God stepped in, allowed him to go. We read here, 3,000 men against an army of 600. He was doing everything in his power to take David down and prevent him from becoming the next king of Israel. There's not only going to be times in your life with an enemy where you feel like you are hated, there may be times in your life where you feel personally attacked by someone who dislikes you. Maybe just simply by the spreading of rumors and lies, you hear gossiping, or someone stepping in and people that you have a relationship with trying to hurt your relationship with those people and get them on their side. And it may seem like enemies are pursuing you and looking for every possible way to destroy you and defeat you. And Jesus told us it will be this way in the Christian life. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you are living for the Lord in this day, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's a family member, whether it's a jealous Christian, somebody may want to hurt your life. They become an enemy in your life, may persecute you in one way or another in your life. There will be times of disagreements and times where you are attacked or hurt or insulted. It is inevitable. We need to be aware of it. We see this offense in David's life. And as we continue on here in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, we see the offense there, and we see the problem there that Saul had with him, but then we see this temptation that David had in his life. It says, and he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. It is here. Saul's here. David, here's your shot. But put yourself in his place for just a moment. You've been hunted without a cause. A person that you've done nothing against is after you. They're doing everything in their power to destroy you, your name, to take your life. You're given a perfect chance to right your wrongs, and all you have to do is take that opportunity against your enemy, and you win. What do you do when that opportunity presents itself? There's a great temptation there. And the first temptation that David was experiencing here at this point of the story was a temptation to feed his pride. To feed his pride. You know, Saul wandered into that cave where David and his men were hiding, and he laid down, he went to sleep, and David was presented with this golden opportunity, a chance to get even. David's men are there, and they've heard all the stories. They've seen it with their own eyes. Saul hates David. Saul wants nothing but to just kill David, to destroy him, to end any chance he has at being king. They've seen these things. They love David. They're saying, David, here you go. He's here. God's given him to you. Take your chance. They challenged him. You know, to these men, David was a hero. And David being a hero to them, David being someone that these men looked up to, if David doesn't take this chance, if David doesn't kill Saul with this golden opportunity, he's not only taking a chance at his own life, possibly in the future, but possibly these men, Saul will send his 3,000 soldiers and some of these men will die. And he has this chance to kill the king right there and to take things into his own hands. And maybe if David backs off and doesn't take advantage of this opportunity, what kind of support will he have from his men? They want me to do this. They say God's in it. Maybe my reputation will be hurt if I don't take this chance. He had an image to protect. There was a temptation there to feed his pride and to settle the score for that manner. Now, how many times have we been in a similar spot with our pride? You know, we don't want others to think that we're weak. We have a reputation in our own life that we need to take care of. We need to stand up for ourselves. We want the respect of those around us. And because of that, we have temptation to lash out and to put someone in their place or thinking that makes us look big to those that are watching. But when we allow ourselves to fall to the temptation of our flesh, to protect our pride, we allow ourselves to be blinded to the truth, and we're wrong. A person never looks more childish, more petty than when they take revenge just to save face before others. With Jesus, we have a great example of this, and we find in prophecy, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 says, when he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Peter wrote in the New Testament, 1 Peter, he says, who when he is reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The example that Jesus set before us is to be one that shows grace. When he was reviled, reviled not again. Old Testament prophecy said he opened not his mouth. He didn't retaliate in any way. God in the flesh humbled himself when really he was, as God, he can't exalt himself, but he humbled himself. The understanding that God in the flesh humbled himself in such a way where he took those beatings, he did all those things for us and did not retaliate, what right do we have to do the same? What right do we have to take things into our own hands or to try to save face or to save our pride? What right do we have? None. Our reputation means nothing, but our opportunities to display the Spirit of Jesus means everything. You know, David here, there was a temptation to feed his pride. The men were there. There's even more of a temptation just to settle the score. Surely as David was sitting there in the darkness of that cave and Saul entered it to go to sleep, thoughts of revenge grew in his flesh. The flesh is maybe speaking to David and saying, you know, now's your chance. You can get him. Take your dagger in this persecution. Save yourself. No one has more of a right than you do, David. Kill him and be free. Kill him. Be king. And David begins to walk over to where Saul was sleeping with the knife in his hand, the opportunity to end it all. And surely there must have been just a moment where that thought was entertained to get revenge. As we continue to go through the story, what would you do? Do you take the chance to destroy your enemy? Do you get even? We know what our flesh says. We know what our flesh has told us before. It says we need to get even, or they deserve it. Tear them down. Make them hurt just like they made you hurt. If you ask anybody in the world will say, well, they did you dirty. They deserve everything that's coming to them. In fact, don't stop with getting even. Take it a step further. Make sure they feel the pain of what they've done to you. Hurt them more than they hurt you. You know, when that moment comes in your life, when that temptation comes in your life, what you do depends on who you are listening to. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, the flesh and the world are like David's men. They cry out for revenge. They encourage revenge. But God sees it differently. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That is not the way of the world, but it's the will of God. Revenge will never give you what you need. The only possible way for a Christian to come out on top is to learn to respond to the hurt with a godly spirit and attitude. And in the rest of this passage, David shows us how to clearly respond correctly to those who may cause us harm or intend to cause us harm. And as we continue on here in verse 5 back in our text, we see a proper response from David. And as we see his response, we see his character. Look there at verse 5. "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt." When David had the chance to kill Saul and get revenge, he refused to do it. And instead, all he did was cut off a small piece of the robe of Saul. And as soon as he did it, he was convicted. As we continue on here, it says, "And he said unto his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed.'" I think David, there's no doubt he had a hard time respecting Saul the man, but he had great respect of the office of Saul the king and what God had established. And he tells his men about this, and he tells them, he makes sure they are not going to harm him as well. He immediately knew that his thoughts of revenge and desire to get even were not of the Lord. He knew it wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. He wanted to be in the will of God, and he knew that he didn't have the right to play judge and jury in the life of Saul. Have you ever thought about the fact that when we take matters like this into our own hands and we try to get even with others, we're actually in our life taking the place of God? When we set ourselves up as a person's judge and jury, when we determine their punishment, when we try to get revenge when it's not our place to do so, we've overstepped our boundaries. And justice and judgment needs to be left in the hand of God. Even when we cannot respect another person because of how they act and what they've done to us, we should at least recognize that they have to answer to God just as we do. The Bible says in the book of Romans, "Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're going to give account to God for everything you do, for every response, every reaction. That person that has hurt you, that person that has insulted you, that person that has done wrong to you is going to receive the same. Give account of themselves. Yeah, I remember as a boy, and even now as I read through this story, I remember being in Sunday school and the teacher telling it, and they had the flannel graph, that's what it's called, right? With the Bible characters on there, and I see them talking, and David's creeping up to Saul, and he's got the sword. I remember in my mind, I'm ready for Saul to be dead. He deserved it. And as you read it now, and you see the story, you're thinking he deserves to be dead. He deserves what's coming to him. And then I remember being disappointed as a kid because David didn't do what I wanted him to do. But we look at David just simply cutting off a piece of the robe. And then afterwards, he is shattered because he touched the Lord's anointed. His heart was so tender that even this small little thing that he did brought conviction. And how convicting that is for us as we're thinking of that tonight, of the conviction that David felt in his life and sometimes the lack of conviction we feel when we act in the flesh. I find it amazing that some people that call themselves Christians are able to hurt people with their words and actions like they do. Someone who can say and do hurtful things to other people is either out of the will of God or unsaved. And when our hearts are right with the Lord, even the smallest wrongs should cause pain and conviction and should need to be dealt with in the life of a Christian. So what did David do? He didn't do what his men wanted him to do. He didn't do what the flesh wanted him to do. He was convicted over just the slight fear that he put into Saul. As we continue on here in this chapter, beginning there in verse 8, we see a very godly approach that David had in dealing with Saul in the situation. And as Saul leaves the cave, Saul runs out in fear. David follows him and he sets the record straight. And as we're closing tonight, I just got five principles for you, five things that we see from David's interaction with Saul and how you can biblically resolve conflict. What you should do when enemies have attacked you. The first thing that you should do is take the first step. Look at verse 8. Saul had already left the cave. He went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." David was not going to let this interaction end there. David took this step and he ran out to Saul to speak to him. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The first thing you should do in this situation is not wait for the other person to take the first step. Because if you do, many times, it'll never be resolved. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Not to other people. Go to that person first. David understood, if this is going to be resolved, if this relationship is going to be restored, if I want to do this thing God's way, I need to approach Saul. And he rose up and he went to Saul and called him out. There's going to be a lot of times in life where people hurt your feelings or say things that may hurt you. And in my opinion, it's far better to, if you are able to deal with those hurts on between yourself and the Lord. But if you cannot get past it, we are commanded in the Word of God to go to the offending party. If you can't forgive that person and get past it without talking to them, you have an obligation to go to that person, to take that first step. So David took that first step. The second thing David did, he humbled himself and he honored the offender. What we should do is humble yourself and honor the offender. Look there at the end of verse 8. "And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself." David could have stood eye to eye with him. He could have threatened. He could have made sure he stood his ground. But David humbled himself to Saul. You know, we must remain humble and we must show love and honor to the offender. You know, Abraham Lincoln was once criticized by many people for many things he did. One in particular was his attitude towards his enemies. Abraham Lincoln had a lot of enemies, and you could look at papers from the day he was living in and all the even the Gettysburg Address, they blasted. They said it was a failure. They said it was one of the worst speeches ever written. And now we see what it is today. But Abraham Lincoln went with his attitude towards his enemies. Someone said, "Why do you try to make friends with them?" And they told him, "You should not try to make friends with them. You should destroy them. You have this position. You could destroy these people's lives." And Lincoln looked at that person. He said, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? Am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? It's a humble man that honored people even when they didn't show honor in return. And for biblically resolving conflict, we should do the same thing. So he took the first step. He humbled himself, showed honor. The third thing he did, we should be truthful. Look at verse 9. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, the skirt of thy robe is in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that thou is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." First thing David did was declared his own guilt. He said what he did to Saul. And we need to make sure that as we approach others that have wronged us, or as we approach others we've had a conflict with, we should confess any guilt on our part and speak the whole truth. Not leave things out, not speak vaguely, speak directly. But he also declared the offense of the other person. He was truthful in what he was saying in resolving this conflict. The fourth thing he did, there's two more and we're done. The fourth thing he did, he forgave. And we should forgive. Verse 12 says, "The Lord judge thee between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." He says, "I'm not going to do anything to you. It's over." It's him basically extending forgiveness and wanting this to be finished. He's wanting to forget it. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Forgive as we've been forgiven. And David, in the flesh and in the world's eyes, had no reason to show forgiveness to Saul, no reason to let this go. But because of who his God is, because he wanted to honor his Lord, he did that. We need to make sure we're doing the same as we've been hurt. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a woman in Kentucky, one whose home had been traveled through during the war. And he, as he approached this woman's house, someone took him there, and there was this old family tree that had been in their property for generations. And this woman took Robert E. Lee to the tree, and she told him how it had been very much injured by artillery fire, and the branches that were once beautiful and had leaves were no longer there, and the base of the tree itself was hurt, and this tree was not far from not being a living organism anymore. And she looked to Lee as she was telling him this story and showing him this tree that was once beautiful, now destroyed, wanting him to condemn the North or to sympathize with her for a loss. And Lee sat there, not saying anything. And finally, he looked at her and he said, "Cut it down, madam, and forget it." It's better for this woman to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and that bitterness to take root in her heart. Now, there may be some people in here tonight who need to cut down some old mangled trees in their life and forget them. You know, what a challenge we have here, and what an example we have of David to forgive. We need to be committed to doing the right thing regardless of what the other person does. We need to show forgiveness. So we need to take the first step. We need to humble and honor the offender. We need to speak the truth. We need to forgive. And the last thing, give it to God. Give it to God. You look at verse 12. It says, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." Verse 14, "After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." Ultimately, we need to place our case at God's feet and leave it with him. You know, if we go through life carrying around all the hurts and pains that have come, it will destroy you. and it will eat at you the rest of your life. But as we give things over to God, it gives you closure, even if the other person doesn't respond the way you want them to respond. Don't allow the things others have done against you to ruin your life. Don't allow the things others have done against you to fester in your heart and mind and really keep you out of the will of God by having bitterness in your heart. Don't allow that to happen. Give it over to God. It's not easy, but it's the will of God for us to do that. You know, David's grace that he showed in this situation touched the heart of King Saul. We're not going to for time's sake, but we could read the rest of this chapter and we see that what David did brought peace in that day. Ultimately, what David wanted. David didn't want to be chased after. David didn't want to be persecuted. David wanted peace with the king. And he got what he was after, not because he took matters into his own hands, but because he did things the way that pleased his God. And he demonstrated grace instead of bitterness. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 16, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I printed off something today, something I saw a long time ago, but it's kind of hard to see. But this is a carving in a old schoolhouse in Rome. Archaeologists were digging, and they found this old schoolhouse from the 3rd century. And in that schoolhouse were many different things. One of the things was this picture and some words that was carved out in the walls. And they have taken it and made it a drawing. It's a drawing that some kids made. And as we look at the drawing, we see a young boy. That's his name, Alexamenos. And we see a man on a cross with the head of a donkey. And this picture says, Alexamenos worships his God. This was 3rd century. This was some schoolboys being mean and making fun of a young man that said he was a Christian, a young man that most likely was a witness, a young man that was different than the rest of the boys in school. And this is just something they were able to discover of the persecution this young boy felt. And as you think about this story and you think about Alexamenos, you think about the pain he may have felt and how his flesh may have wanted to act out at times and possibly fight and all these things. And we don't know much about this young man. But in a room just not too far away from where this drawing was this written in the wall. And it says, Alexamenos Fidelis, meaning Alexamenos was faithful. I don't know if he wrote that to try to encourage himself. I don't know if other boys wrote that or if it was written by an adult. But what we know is that even though this young man was persecuted, and even though this young man was different than everyone else around him, he continued to be the young Christian man God wanted him to be. He had a choice. He could cower, he could fight back, but what we know about this young man is he was faithful. As we look here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David had a choice to make. David chose to please his God, no matter what Saul was going to do to him in the future or what he had done to him in the past. And in our life, we have a choice to make. We're going to have enemies. People are going to try to hurt you. People are going to try to offend you. People may persecute you for your faith. There's going to be a temptation to act in the flesh, and a temptation to preserve your pride will be evident, will be there. But what we need to do is choose to handle it God's way and continue to live as he wants us to live. Continue to be faithful no matter what. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Beginning the invitation, the altar's open. And there may be someone here tonight that's dealing with hurt. And if you are, give it to the Lord. Lay it down at his feet, forgive and forget. You know, if you can't do that, go to the person who's hurt you and get it settled. Do it for yourself, do it for the church, do it for the glory of God tonight. Maybe you've hurt others and you know you have. Do the right thing, go to them, make it right. But if the Lord uses this passage to speak to your heart, do the things he's telling you to do today. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the story of David. We ask your blessings and invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.